I'm going to review an article that, in the author's own words, is, quote, not presented as new knowledge, but rather as an attempt to put forth to the non-dental and non-orthodontic world a subject seldom covered in many otolaryngologic and pediatric training programs, end quote. The article appears in the April 2003 issue of the International Journal of Pediatric Otorhinolaryngology and is titled Dental Malocclusion and Upper Airway Obstruction, an Otolaryngologist's Perspective. The primary author of this paper is Dr. Dudley Weeder, an ENT surgeon from the Dartmouth Hitchcock Clinic in New Hampshire. The literature review presented by Dr. Weeder is primarily literature that we are familiar with from authors such as Harvold, Linder Aronson, Engel, McNamara, Moss, and others that supports the theory that mouth breathing may contribute to the development of malocclusion. The study itself consists of 8 patients that were referred to Dr. Weeder for ENT surgery. These 8 were identified by the author as having a malocclusion including posterior crossbite and or anterior open bite. Prior to surgery, a frontal photograph was taken of the dentition. The patients were photographed again at least 1 year after surgery to remove upper airway obstruction, and these photos were compared to the pretreatment photos. This subjective comparison revealed that there was spontaneous improvement in the malocclusion by the time of the 1 year follow-up in all cases. 6 of the 8 underwent orthodontic treatment to complete the correction of the malocclusion. The author uses these results to confirm his opinion that surgery to remove airway obstruction leads to positive improvement in the dental relationships. The scientific merit of this series of case reports is low. The study is not well done or controlled. The interesting part of this story to me is that the author felt the need to present this evidence, as weak as it is, to his medical colleagues to highlight the relationship between airway problems and the development of malocclusion. As I quoted him at the beginning of this review, this is not a subject that is taught to most pediatric or ENT residents. The take-home message from this report is that your medical colleagues may not be very informed about the relationship between nasal obstruction and malocclusion, but if they are educated about this topic, they will become more aware of malocclusions and be a valuable team member in their treatment. To read the opinions of Dr. Weeder relative to airway obstruction and malocclusion, look at his article in the April issue of the International Journal of Pediatric Otorhinolaryngology.